Good morning, everyone. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Monday, March 22nd, 2021. The time is 9:02. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Hughes, Senator Begich, and myself. Senator Maticki may make it a little bit later, I believe. Senator Stevens will not make it today. And we have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you to Jeannie, our recording secretary, and Kelsey, our moderator today. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. Today we have three items on the agenda. We will begin by bringing the committee substitute for Senate Bill 80 relating to mental health education. Correction. For the record, we will bring Senate Bill 10 back before the committee. We do have a committee substitute for this bill. Senator Hughes, would you make the motion?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair. I move that 32-LS0127/GB adopted as the committee substitute for SB 10 and placed before the committee as our working document.
I object for discussion. Mr. King, please put yourself on the record and explain the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ed King, staff to Senator Holland. There are a few changes in the committee substitute, Mr. Chairman. The first one being on page 1, line 8 of version A, the word undergraduate was removed. This is purely to allow for to account for any confusion that may exist in a trade school that doesn't have an undergraduate program and ensuring that they are eligible. The second change in subsection A, paragraph 2, it's the substantial change in this committee substitute, Mr. Chairman, and what it does is it expands the pool of potential of eligible applicants to include anyone that was laid off due to the pandemic. Change number 3 inserts a paragraph 4 under subsection B, and this is a change that the sponsor can speak to more eloquently, I believe.
You want me to speak to that now?
Say again, I'm sorry?
Mr. Chairman, do you want me to speak to that now or have my staff assistant, Luke Gail Tobin, speak to change number 3?
Please.
Okay, if I could invite my staff assistant, Ms. Luke Gail Tobin, to speak to it, change 3. Inserts a new paragraph which disqualifies a student from additional funding. Would you explain the paragraph for the committee, please, Ms. Tobin? And don't forget to identify yourself for the record for the chairman.
For the record, this is Luki Gail Tobin, staff to Senator Begich. This change will, I'm not entirely sure about this change, because I don't know if we necessarily requested it. Can we please have an at ease?
Brief
at ease. Back on the record.
For the record, this is Luki Gail-Tobin, staff to Senator Begich. This change would disqualify a student from receiving additional funding once they've completed their program, so they can't necessarily apply for a second program or a second degree or a second certificate.
Could I just explain that a little bit, Mr. Chairman?
Please, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, it's so that you can't use all your 4 years to get two different degrees. It's only for one degree. It's for one opportunity, essentially. That's the idea. Yeah. It's a limiting
Thank you, change. Senator Begich. Mr. King, is there more?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The change number four, it looks like there's a typo on this change. The first change, number four, adds a new subsection, which just changes the definition of essential workers. Rather than being an enumerated list, it directs the department, or I'm sorry, the Commission on Post-Secondary Education to work with the Department of Health and Social Services to develop what that means an essential worker and to use the document, the Alaska Essential Services and Critical Workforce Infrastructure Order that was provided by the governor in defining what an essential worker is. The second change, number four, which should be change number five, is a technical change. It just removes the word private institution from the definition of full or half-time student to account for the fact that the beginning of this bill only allows, on page one, line eight, it requires that the post-secondary educational institution be state-supported, so the words private institution would not conform to that requirement. And then the last change, Mr. Chairman, is just a change of the repeal deadline. Rather than being a floating deadline whenever the pandemic ends, it instead establishes a hard date of December 31st, 2025. And those are the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. King. I remove my objection. Is there further objection to adopting the committee substitute as our working document?
I just have some questions, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hughes.
So for our student loan program right now, there are a student could use those funds for a private institution, I believe, right? Students take out loans and they attend universities in state, colleges in state and out of state that are private. But for this program, they would not be, they could not use it at a private institution. And what's the reason for that when we allow the grants to be used in private institutions elsewhere in the student loan program?
May I speak to that? Sure.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The primary reason for that is because the student loan program is a loan program that's designed to provide loans that are then paid back by the individual. So they're not subsidizing or being used as public money for private institutions, which is a grants program, would do. It would actually violate the Constitution if you actually provided the money without any element to pay it back. So the difference between a loan and a grant is essentially why we had to limit it. We intended to initially apply it to all institutions, but were told explicitly by the Department of Law, I mean, not Department of Law, but the alleged legal, that we could not do that. That was the original draft that we had done, and they said we can't do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have another question.
Yes, Senator Hughes.
Well, first of all, that's a good explanation, Senator Begich. That does make sense. The loan versus grant makes sense. Because Senator Stevens isn't here, I'll be making the motion to move this out of the committee, but I just want to state on the record, I do have a problem with the bill, although I know the sponsor's intent is noble. I still, and I'm grateful now that someone who was not an essential worker but became unemployed during the public health emergency is now eligible. That's great. But I still have a problem with those that were essential workers working the entire time during the declaration period versus, let's say, the restaurant worker who did not get laid off. So now this essential worker who could have a much better salary is eligible for the grant, where the restaurant worker who might be able to pull themselves up into a better economic state would not be eligible for this. So I still find a problem with it, and so I just wanted to get that on the record, although I will not, I'll be part of the quorum to move this out, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your comment, Senator Hughes. Is there further objection to adopting the committee substitute as our working document? Hearing none, SB 10 version G is before us. Senator Begich, do you have any additional comments on the bill? And also, I believe.
I do.
And I believe Santa Efford may be available to speak on this. at some point if they've been listening in, if they may want to add some comments. But Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We noticed that in the drafting of the bill, my office made an error in suggesting the report period for the report date in the online. If you look at line, I believe it's line 11 on page 4. Is that correct? Line 11 on page 4. That should read December 31st, 2026. Otherwise, the report would be produced before the end of the, essentially the day after the grant program ends. So you want to give time to calculate whether people completed their degrees, that kind of thing. You wouldn't know that till May of the following year, which is 26. So we just were requesting a change of date there. On line 11, it would, and I'll move an amendment to that effect, but essential worker grant program, to change that to section 2 of this act is repealed December 31st, 2026. And I would propose that amendment to the committee and hope that the committee would adopt that so the CS as amended would be the final motion.
Brief at ease. On the record. I'm sorry, Senator Begich. So is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move that on line 11, page 4, line 11 of the bill, and we're talking about version G, that delete January 1st, comma, 2025, and replace with December 31st, comma, 2026.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion passes. Senator Begich, do you have any other remarks on the bill?
Just, Mr. Chairman, thank you for hearing the bill, for allowing for public testimony, and for the ability to present this bill. I look forward to hearing what the debate will be in the next committee of referral.
Senator Hughes.
I am just wondering, too, I'm looking at the title of the bill now that we've have the committee substitute, which allows someone who was unemployed, temporarily, permanently laid off, who was not an essential worker, whether the bill title perhaps needs to be adjusted, and I suppose the next committee of referral could take care of that. And I also just want to put on the record that I love our critical workers. We need them. But to me, everyone's critical. Everyone's essential. And I would be much more apt to vote for this bill if Section A were removed, because again, someone who was employed the whole time versus someone who was also employed the whole time but making very low pay, and to me, they ought to be just as eligible, and really emphasizing those who got hit hard because they were laid off, that makes sense. But rewarding those who are critical workers when they really didn't take the kind of hit others took is just a problem for me, Mr. Chair. So I know I said that earlier in the earlier discussion, but I will be marking to amend, and that would be to take out that Section A would on at the bottom of page 1. So with that, I have no further comment.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. I will just offer this opportunity to Sana Efford, if they're listening in, if they'd like to, if you'd care to, if you've heard any of the comments, you care to make any remarks on this as invited testimony.
Good morning, can you hear me?
The first time you're a little broken up, that sounded pretty good. Whatever you just did seemed to resolve it.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Holland and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sana Efford. I'm Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education. And I was online and had asked to be available if there were any questions regarding the fiscal notes that were attached to this bill. I am available for that.
Thank you, Director Efford. All right. Hearing no more comments on Senate Bill 10, are there any amendments, any additional amendments? Seeing none, is there any further debate? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee? Senator Hughes?
Mr. Chair, this is SB 10, right? So
yeah, SB 10.
I move that 32-LS0127-G be adopted as amended as the committee substitute for SB 10 and placed before the committee as and be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, SB 10 version G has passed from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. All right, next on the agenda, we will be bringing the committee substitute for Senate Bill 80 relating to mental health education back in front of the committee. We have a committee substitute for this bill. Senator Hughes, would you make the motion?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair. I move that 32-LS0514-B be adopted as the committee substitute for SB 80 and placed before the committee as our working document.
I object for discussion. Mr. King, please place yourself on the record and explain the changes.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, again for the record, Ed King, staff to Senator Holland. The changes on this bill were the changes that were recommended by the committee members during the last hearing of the bill. The first change is within the intent language, and it removes the enumerated list of organizations and replaces it with more generic phrasing of the Department of Health and Social Services, regional tribal health organizations, and representatives of national and health and state mental health organizations. Change number two just brings the actual subsection B of AS 1430-360 to conform with that intent language. So it removes the words within the, on page 2, line 7 of version A, it changes the phrase, health guidelines must provide standards, which was deemed to be confusing, to simply guidelines for instruction. And then to address the issue of developmentally appropriate material, the words developmentally appropriate were inserted into that section. And then on page 2, line 9 of version A of the bill, the words regional tribal health organizations were inserted as they are in the intent language, just to be consistent. Those are the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. King. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to reinforce, these were suggestions, at least the bulk of these were suggestions made by the staff to the Mental Health Board, the Suicide Prevention Council, and the Alcohol and Substance Abuse Councils. These were changes that they made, believing that they were more consistent with current policy.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I remove my objection. Is there further objection to adopting the committee substitute as a working document? Hearing none, SB 80 version Bravo is before us. And are there any closing remarks on this bill? Senator Hughes?
It's not a closing remark, just a question, because now we're going to consult with Department of Health and Social Services to help ensure that the curriculum is developmentally appropriate. And I also see that the Department of Ed, that DEED, would also be involved as far as providing technical assistance. And I'm teaching and instructing students and children, I think, of, you know, first, second, third graders is a little bit different than I suppose. I'm just hoping HESS is equipped to, I mean, they understand the different development of children and whether how that instruction piece, I'm glad DEED is still involved, because I think they might have an understanding of what might be appropriate, for instance, in a classroom setting, as opposed to maybe in a clinical setting where a provider might be speaking to a child of a certain age and would know what might be appropriate to speak with one-on-one, but in a classroom setting. So I'm just hoping that in DEED's technical assistance, that they will ensure that they will have a hand in also developing what's developmentally appropriate, even though it's not really laid out this way, the way the language is written. It's really falling on HESS. And I guess, and I don't know, do we have anybody from DEED online that could speak to that or not, just if they?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Begich?
It's actually spoken to in the fiscal note on page 2 in the last paragraph. Transition language provides the State Board of Education early development 2 years to develop mental health guidelines. that they are the primary mover. They're consulting with the Department of Health and Social Services. The consultation language was in the original bill as well, with the department. And so the lead on this, according to the fiscal note, and again, I'm looking at fiscal note SB080-EED-SSA-2-16-21, indicates that, again, I'll read it if I may, Mr. Chairman, the permission to read.
Please read.
Transition language provides the State Board of Education early development 2 years to develop mental health guidelines. It's pretty explicit right there.
And I'll follow up for, you know, it's in the
follow
intent.
Senator Hughes.
In the intent language, it's that the Board of Education early development should develop the guidelines, but then in Section 3, the guidelines are with HESS. And I'm confident they'll work together. It just, there's a little bit of a disconnect there because one's intent language and the other's the actual, this is who will establish it. HESS will be establishing the guidelines.
I see. Mr. King, do you have some comments to add on this line?
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, Ed King. In Section 3 of the bill on AS 1430-360B, the first sentence of that section is the State Board. That is a reference to the State Board of Education, and it will work in consultation with the Department of Health and Social Services and the other organizations. The last section of the bill, the transition language, again states the State Board of Education and Early Development shall develop the mental health guidelines. So it is within the bill that does fall on the
okay. Thank you for that. That helps because I think that's important because a clinical setting is a little bit different than a school setting. So that's reassuring. Thank you. And it's good to get that discussion on the record so it's clear that the committee is expressing the importance of both departments being involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Thank you, Mr. King, for that clarification. Is there any further debate on SB 80? Seeing none, are there any amendments? Seeing none. Senator Hughes, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move that 32-LS0514-B, the committee substitute for SB 80, be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, SB 80, version B, has passed from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. A brief at ease to sign the paperwork. We'll bring Senate Bill 6 regarding retirement incentive programs for state employees back in front of the committee. Senator Kawasaki, let's see. We have a committee substitute for this bill. Senator Hughes, would you make the motion?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I move that 32-LS0028-B be adopted as a committee substitute for SB 6 and placed before the committee as our working document.
I object for discussion. Mr. King, please put yourself on the record and explain the changes.
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, Ed King, staff to Senator Holland. There are two changes in this bill, in this committee substitute, Mr. Chairman. The first change of major substance is to address the issue that was brought by Senator Michicki during the last hearing. And that was a concern that in school districts where teachers were already having recruitment and retention problems, allowing teachers to retire might be problematic. So within the bill, we added some language that addresses or attempts to address that issue. In Section 2, Subsection B, which is on page 2, lines 14 and 15 of version B, that is additional language. And what that language does is it allows the Commissioner of Administration to deny an application if the Commissioner believes that with the assistance of the superintendent that would be detrimental to the district. The change number 2 is within the intent language, and it just simply removes the last sentence of the intent language. Those are the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. King. I remove my objection. Is there further objection to adopting the committee substitute as our working document? Seeing none, SB 6 version Bravo is before us. Sorry for that confusion, Senator Kawasaki.
Yeah,
Would you like to make any remarks on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Education Committee. I know that there might be some, for the record, I know there might be some folks, Scott Kawasaki, District A, State Senate. representing Fairbanks. And through the chair, Mr. Chairman, I know that there might be some folks who are online for questions, both dealing with the questions that were brought up last week. So if there are questions, otherwise I'll just close by saying I just wanted to thank the committee for bringing this forward. Retirement incentive programs have been used since the 80s, both in private and public sector. The state of Alaska, in fact, used them in 86, 89, and 96. There was a bill in 2004 that did a very similar thing to what this bill does today. The cost savings are tremendous when you look at them. In 86, the estimated savings was over $25 million just in year one. The legislative audit for the 89 retirement incentive program demonstrated $23 million, representing 1,700 employees. In 96, Senator McGuire introduced a bill, identical legislation, and her fiscal note showed a $41 million savings in just year one. This is a time where we need to try to find some savings, as well as prevent layoffs. Senate Bill 6 does just that. So I would encourage the committee to consider it. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. Senator Hughes.
You can go first, Mr. Okay. Chair.
I'm just going to say I know we have Superintendent John Holtz with Sitka School District, and he was going to speak to the bill. Superintendent Holtz, please state your name and put your affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Okay. You hear me okay?
Very clearly.
John Holtz, I'm Superintendent of Schools for the Sitka School District. Senator Holland and committee members, I have read through this bill several times, and it seems to me, and I know this is similar to bills that have been offered and passed in the distant past, at least, it seems unduly complicated to me, and I think to me the simplest thing, and we're right in the midst of doing a reduction. In fact, I've just printed out the agreements that I'm going to take around for the staff members to sign today. And basically, we're offering a bonus not connected to TRS of $10,000 for the teachers and for them to take the early retirement. And we have four that are going to do that. It is a fairly simple, straightforward thing for us. But if the one thing that could be done that would help us immensely and allow for a lot of local control, and that's the problem I see with the bill currently, is the local control part of it, would be for you to instruct the legislature to instruct TRS to count any bonuses as earned income. And currently they do not do that, and so any bonus that we offer anyone is going to be outside of TRS, because it doesn't qualify as earned income. So that would be the one change that would help us immensely, because people always want to know, can I count this towards retirement? So I guess just to summarize, I am speaking simply for myself, not for any association that I belong to, but it just seems like this bill, the intention is wonderful. I agree it's exactly aimed at the right target, although it would seems to me when we do one of these in the past, it's always been when we've had a significant downturn in population, so that we were going to have to remove numbers of positions, which allows this to be done in an orderly fashion. But the current situation that we're all under right now is we're having to kind of prune our budgets, basically, and make some reductions in positions. And in several of these, most of these cases, the people who are taking this are going to have to be replaced. We have a couple of positions open, but we're going to need to rearrange the pieces on the chessboard, I guess is the best way to say it. And some of the positions will need to be hired back. And inside the bill, in several cases, it says, or at least one case, it says that we cannot fill a position, that it's going to have to remain vacant. So, anyway, that's my testimony. Thank you for the opportunity, and I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Superintendent Holtz. My apologies. I thought you were invited testimony. I believe you're public testimony on this.
Well, I was invited. Yeah, I was invited by Senator Kawasaki's office.
Okay, so then invited testimony. Okay. Senator Begich has, both Senator Begich and Senator Hughes have questions or comments. Senator Begich first.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Superintendent, you realize that on page 2, lines 3 and 4 of this bill, that whole section, this retirement incentive program isn't a mandate, it's a may. You have the wherewithal in Sitka to be able to do well beyond this retirement program, so you're doing it. And you should be commended for doing that. There's no requirement in this bill that you would be having, that you would have to follow this retirement, nor would any school district have to follow this retirement incentive program. It's provided as a tool to give guidance to those districts that don't have the wherewithal that your district does to be able to offer a substantial bonus incentive above what this bill could offer and to replace those teachers. So this bill would have no material effect on your district if you chose not to enter into this particular state retirement program. And if I could, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to actually read the paragraph, if I may.
Please read.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, retirement incentive program, A, an employer, that would be your school district, including a state agency, a political subdivision of the state, a public organization, the University of Alaska, may elect to adopt a retirement incentive program under this act. That's the critical component here. It's not in any way designed to impact negatively your district. It's designed to provide a tool for those districts that don't have quite literally the tax base or the wherewithal of your district. So I think it's important for the record to reflect that there are retirement incentive programs that are shall retirement incentive programs that are extremely dangerous for local jurisdictions and ones that I would never support. This is not one of those.
Okay. Could I respond, please?
Thank you, Senator Begich. Superintendent Holtz.
Oh, he wanted to respond.
Yes, through the chair. Senator Begich, I understand that it is voluntary. I understand that. However, whenever you have teachers who are in that category of wanting to tack on 3 years onto their service in order to retire and get a larger benefit, the pressure will be on the district to participate. And sometimes you will end up, if it's a year of negotiations with the teachers union, you'll end up having this as a discussion at the table. And it might very well become a part of an agreement. And also, there are some significant financial impacts on the district. Significant ones. And I'll go back to what I said originally. I think the intent is wonderful, but the problem is that it's so unduly complicated and is going to create problems for local districts. Even I understand that we have the choice of participating or not, but the pressure oftentimes will come from the teachers and their union in order to force us to participate.
Thank you, Superintendent Holtz. Senator Hughes, did you still have your comment?
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure if this question is for the sponsor or for the superintendent, but being that Sitka is already doing this, why, Senator Kawasaki, do we need this if a district can choose to do it and structure it in a way that works for them?
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Hughes, it sounds like the way that Sitka is doing it is through just a one-time only $10,000 payment to retire, and you can clarify with the superintendent. My school district in particular, we've got a $25 million deficit coming into this next year. they're talking about 200 layoffs within the system, everywhere from custodial staff all the way up to a certified teacher. We don't have the cash on hand at the school district level to be able to just pay out the $10,000 incentive to basically retire.
Okay, and then I have a follow-up question.
All of,
if this were to become law, the superintendent Sitka, could he continue to do things as he's doing, or would that he then have to fall under the way you've structured it?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, yeah, there's nothing to prevent a school district from giving a even sign-on bonuses or sign-out retirement incentives. This basically just clarifies and codifies the retirement incentive program, both, again, for school districts, for the university, all the way up to state service. That's really what we wanted to do, was include everybody who's within the PERS or TERS system.
And I have another question, because I believe it was last year around this table, or maybe it was the year before, Senator Machicki had a bill where districts were coming and wanting to rehire retired teachers. Now we've got districts that are wanting to retire teachers. So I'm wondering, and I'm not sure whether Senator Machicki's bill passed. Okay, you're nodding that it did. We thought it did. So let's talk about how that would mesh with his bill, because you've got a wait period. And as you know, the national shortage of teachers is it's even more difficult in certain areas of our state to recruit and replace somebody who's retiring. So if we've got the two-year wait, is that the same that Senator Machicki's bill had, the retire, rehire bill?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes. So the retire, rehire bill, which was Senate Bill 185, passed the Senate 19 to 1. It basically states its conditions are different than the conditions we have here. It says that to reemploy educators who are retired, they have to be retired for at least 6 months if the educator is younger than 62. Younger than age 62 for 60 days if the educator is age 62. 60 days if the educator is 62 or older, 6 months if it's 62 or younger. The way it meshes is if a person wants to retire using the retirement incentive program that we're introducing, they'd be under a different part of law than if they were to just go under the retire rehire system. And currently our Senate Bill 6 states that they can come back after. Sorry, I'm going to have to defer to Joe.
Mr. Hayes, please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Yes, my name is Joe Hayes, staff to Senator Kawasaki, and through the chair, Senator Hughes. So for a person to come back and work for a district through Senate Bill 6, the districts have the ability, they can either bring them back under contract, or they can become substitute teachers. They can work that way to come back, but they won't be able to come back under TERS.
And follow up, because I believe Senator Machicki's bill, they're not coming back under TERS as well, but now we've got a two-year wait, 6 months wait, so if they go through regular retirement, they can go back in 6 months, but if they go through the RIP, the early retirement, now they're waiting 2 years. Is there a reason for those to be different? Would it not make more sense if we've got a shortage and it's going to be a savings to be able to bring that early retired teacher back sooner in 6 months rather than 2 years?
Well, let me, through the chair, Senator Hughes, let me just make sure that I at least put this on the record, that school districts will be required to pay the 12.56% of base salary to TERS if a person does come back under the retire rehire system.
Under his bill.
Under Senator Machicki's bill, they will have to come back through TERS.
Oh, okay. Got that. Okay, thank you.
Senator Begich, did you still have a comment?
No.
All right. Is there any additional comment regarding SB 6? Seeing none, the bill does go to Labor and Commerce, next, and then it'll go to finance. After that, I believe we've resolved the education aspects of the bill, and it'll have time for additional discussion on other points at that time. Seeing, are there any amendments to the bill?
I'll just make a comment, Mr. Chair. Because of the shortage again, I would ask that the sponsor entertain the idea of maybe shortening up the waiting period for teachers, particularly, just because, especially in a, you know, I've lived in rural communities, if someone were to take early retirement and decide to live in that community, they could come back, as Mr. Hayes said, as a substitute or whatever, but it might make sense to bring them back in a steady position. So I just think about that, because this problem is not going to go away. It's going to get worse.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. For the record, I will open public testimony for the bill. Public testimony is open. Is there anyone in the room wishing to provide testimony? Seeing none, is there anyone online wanting to provide additional testimony? Once again, seeing none, I'll close public testimony on the bill. All right, is there any further debate? Seeing none, are there any further amendments? Seeing none. Senator Hughes, what is the will of the committee?
Well, Mr. Chair, knowing that this has two more committees, a referral, I feel comfortable stating that I move that 32-LS0028/B, the committee substitute for SB6, be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, SB6 version B has passed from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. That will conclude our business for today. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none, our next meeting will be Wednesday, March 24th at 9 a.m. And hearing no other business, we are adjourned at 9:48.